Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our New Testament reading comes from Romans 8, 1 to 11. That Jesus lives is one thing, that Jesus lives in us is another thing. Paul suggests that the latter is even more meaningful than the former. So Romans 8, 1 to 11, in the New Revised Standard Version. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, all also through the Spirit that dwells in you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Holy One, we come to you this morning with our hearts open, our ears open, and our eyes open, that we may hear your word and take it into ourselves and bring peace and love and justice in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In his provocatively titled book about Jesus called Beautiful Outlaw, Experiencing the Playful, Disruptive, and Extravagant Personality of Jesus, John Eldredge offers the following description and summation. An intimate relationship with Jesus is the most transforming experience of the human existence. To know him as he is to come home. To have his life, joy, love, and presence cannot be compared. The Bible says in Genesis that we are made in the image of God. It's an image that we carry on the inside of us and has so much to do with how we reflect life. It also has to do with who we identify, how we identify with. How we see ourselves, what we have to offer, and what we actually go after. Our image is our source of strength and confidence. That is really the key to living the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Now, if you remember, our image was distorted in the garden. It was a separation from God, but God said, I'm going to rebirth this image in you. And so you have been rebirthed with the image of God the day you said yes to Jesus. In a worship service in 1964, I said yes to Jesus. Now, I know that dates me a little bit. I was 12 years old. He became my Savior, and I knew I had an exciting new identity. The youth pastor of our church made sure that every teenager understood this. It impacted my life in a big way as I grew through the teenage years and young adult. A new image, an image just like Jesus. I didn't know then what all that meant, but I knew it was the right thing to do. And I never looked back. I never doubted that God had done a miraculous thing within me. But later, as an adult, after a few tumultuous years in college, I was led to make him not just Savior, but Lord. What does that mean? It means that it is to make a conscious decision to let God lead my life. As a type A kind of personality back then, more so than now, that's kind of challenging. One day in worship, though, when I was in my late 30s, the indwelling Holy Spirit caused some extreme heat to be literally in my body, and it was air conditioned in that building as well. When I heard a passage from John 14, and this is what I heard for the first time. You know how you hear something from God and it's like you read it a million times and then all of a sudden it hits you? Well, that's what happened. John 14, but you know him, for he is in you. I felt the presence of God in the Spirit like I'd never felt before. The image of God was expanding in my soul and spirit. It was during a time of discernment in my life when this happened. Not everyone comes to Christ in the same way. We come in different ways and with different circumstances. But that was my experience. And too often, things happen in our lives. Maybe we are in the middle of a discerning time, or maybe the way we've been raised that might have been hurtful, or a divorce, or a great loss of some kind that tries to distort the image of God, tries to cover up the true me and the true you. The one thing, the one God created in his image is in you and me. The next thing you know, because of the circumstances, you begin to identify with those circumstances. You begin to identify with the hurt, the people who have maybe pointing a finger at you, the pain or the disappointments, when all along God never intended those things to come in your life to harm you. God intends for us to know who we are in Christ Jesus and to identify with him and his power that lives in you and me. Now, if you don't know who you are, you won't know what to identify with. Think about that. If you don't know who you are, when something bad happens, then you think that you're the bad. It's interesting to me because God knows already who we are. God knows that we are in his image. He knows that. The question today for you and me, do we know the image that's inside of us? Or have we allowed all the things in life to distort that image? When you look in a mirror, what do you see? The only way I know what I look like is because I've seen myself in a mirror. I get up in the morning, I wash my face, I brush my teeth, I look in the mirror, I say, oh, that's Donna. And I see myself. We all know what we look like because we've seen ourselves in a mirror. Now, granted, others may give us a different description of what they think we look like, but when you look in a mirror, you know, you see yourself. Have you ever been in a group picture, like even a high school group picture? I don't know about you, but I can find myself because I know what I look like. I know my image externally. I know that image then, and I know the image today. Just like we know our physical appearance because we've all looked at them over and over in a mirror, God wants you to be able to locate your spiritual image by looking into the mirror that God holds up. James 1:23, it says this: anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. The word of God is like looking into a mirror. It reflects his image on the inside of us. God wants us to know this image. God wants us to know that we are made in the image, and when we are in Scripture, we begin to learn what that's all about. We know that there's a spiritual person who is far greater than what you see when you look into a mirror physically. This is important because what your image is has everything to do with your confidence, your strength, your ability to heal, and what you identify with. Do you identify as a widower, a divorcee, mistreated and abused, a victim, a sick person, a loser? And all along God says, no, it's not who you are. You were made in my image. You are made a victor. Get your image back. Oh, if only our youth today understood this, what a difference it would make in their lives. You allow the Word of God to shape your image. When we listen to God's Word, we are creating and making sure that that image stays in place. This is how our lives are transformed more and more like Christ. The image is who we are, who we truly are. More than 2,000 years ago, Paul seemed to think the same thing. Though he doesn't use the same words, Paul expresses the same sentiment. In other words, he says, Jesus is the biggest and best thing that can ever happen to anyone. He knew that image was alive and well in him, whose former image and thoughts of himself was that of a murderer. He got up and he saw himself as a murderer every day. What if he did that, even after his transformation? How could he have performed and done the powerful ministry and impact that he had with the Gentiles? When you have a very important event to go to, get your image on. When you're getting yourself ready, dressed to go to an important event, what do? Well, you check your hair, check your clothing, you make sure your tie is straight, get all the things straightened out. And when you put yourself into the presence of God, you are readjusting and reaffirming that is the image you will identify with when you go out the door. It's important to do that first thing every day before you hit the door, because you don't know what's waiting for you when you walk outside. You want to be able to locate who you are in the world that will try to tell you that you can identify with whatever image it throws at you. A world that tells you that you can choose any identity, good or bad, false or real, it's confusing and it's disempowering. It makes you forget who you really are. You see, there are so many opinions out there that if you don't know your true image, you're going to get lost. You might allow someone else to put their identity on you. In my years of ministry to youth, I've had many similar conversations with them about identity because, after all, it's the teenage years that this is formed. I spoke to a young girl once who said, Pastor Donna, that's so strange that you say all that about being, that I have the image of God in me. Because I can be talking to a bunch of kids and they can make me feel bad. And I walk off angry or I walk off ashamed of myself. I told her, once you have a clear understanding of who you are in Christ, that you are loved, you are cherished, forgiven, powerful, made in the image of God, others can't throw you off. So have people tried to label you? Maybe they have taken something out of context and tried to label you or punish you in some way. We seem to be good at that these days that are so divisive. If you believe one way, you're labeled. If you believe the other way, you are labeled. That influence can be so strong that you get confused and you wonder, is that who I really am? No, you're not. When I see myself in a group picture, I can always find myself because, you see, I know what I look like. But if someone holds up the group picture and says to me, Donna, there you are, you're right there, I see you, and it's not me, you know what I say? I say, nope, that ain't me. Those people who hold power over you can hold up pictures of you. That's not you. That's not me, because I know what I look like. I know who I am. I know the image. Have to know how to say, nope, that ain't me, when someone tries to label you. Trust me, as a minister, I get labeled a lot. Most of us do. It's important to know the image of Christ within, that's who I really am. That's who you really are. If someone tries to make you feel bad, that's when you get out that image of God. And you stop right there and you say, I know who I am. You don't even have to fight back. The image of God isn't about arrogance. It's about humility and strength. It's about being assured and confident. You see, still waters run deep. And God wants you to run deep. Paul believed this, and he articulated a theology of the resurrection that has stood the test of time. Perhaps the one question, well, let me just back that up and say first, it's not enough that Jesus was raised. It's not enough. Only when Jesus is raised in you and alive in you and me is there something worth shouting about and living for. And the question that Paul might ask us today is Jesus alive and well in you? I would ask, do you feel encouraged? Do you have that image in you? That's what deep waters are all about. I feel like identity and authority go hand in hand. When you have authority, you carry power. But if you don't know who you are, you can't carry much power when your accusers or labelers come after you. Can you imagine a police officer who didn't believe that he could actually stop traffic? Now, I couldn't do it because I don't have that authority. But he does. When you go to the bank teller and you want to retrieve some money, if you don't have an ID or your ATM card, guess what? You're not going to get any money. You must identify yourself. Know your identity, or you're not going to get what's rightfully yours in this life. And there are so many things that are rightfully yours and mine. God wants us to have a rich and abundant life of well-being. But unless you identify with the power that lives in you, and you know who you are, you may not get what is rightfully yours. Scripture teaches us that the enemy comes to steal. Now, I know that you know what stolen identity is. It's rampant these days. You've got to have all these things in place to protect your identity. I have been the victim of identity theft. And let me tell you, it's not fun. But you've also got to protect the identity your identity in Christ, the image of God that needs to protection, because the enemy is going to try to steal it from you every single day. He wants to steal your worth and your value. And if you don't know who you are, you can't have what God wants you to have, that strength that you need in this world today. You can't live in peace and abundance in life because you'll always be in turmoil. And it's not just about you and me. When the enemy wants to steal from you, he's really stealing from God. Protecting your image is about the greater one who lives in us, that we may have the courage, the strength to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ to others. Walk your talk, brothers and sisters. God has given us the privilege to be in his image, and I can't think of a higher calling on this earth than to bear that image of the Almighty God. So when you have a choice to make of whether to live in integrity or to allow any person or organization to push that image aside so that you will live up to what their ideas are, their policies are, their rules are, that will compromise who you really are, and you lose the image of God in you, going down a weakened path. That's when you say, "That ain't me." And I want to tell you today that we can do that. You and I are here to support and encourage one another to do that. We are the bearer of God's image. When you know who you are in Christ, you don't have to look for other people to validate you. You don't have to squeeze out of people what only God can give you. Sometimes we want to put our validation and our worth in a job position or a car or people that we hang around with because it makes us feel good and we feel important. It's great if you have those things, but those are just things, temporary and subject to change at any moment. And if those things change, what does that mean to you? Do you all of a sudden you're not who you are in Christ? What's on the inside of you is eternal. It never changes. This is life in the Spirit. Your value doesn't change because your circumstances change. Your power doesn't change because your position in heaven doesn't change because your circumstances change. Just know who you are more than ever in this chaotic world that we live in. Locate where you're going because God has great things for you. 2 Corinthians says, God identifies us as his very own. You see, God has already identified you and me. He knows who we are. We need to know who we are. And don't let anything ever cover up and push aside your image in Christ that is in you. People who know the image of God in them pray boldly. Praise in the midst of difficulty. Push through because they know God is there. Know what they look like on the inside. They look like Christ Jesus. They are kind. They are compassionate. They are forgiving. They are generous. They are serving. They are humble. They know the first will be last. And if you want to be a leader, you have to be a servant first. Take on his identity today. That's life in the Spirit. Don't let anyone label you, nor allow any circumstance to define you. God and God alone defines you. And when we put on that identity, we will get where we need to be. Praise God. Amen.